We are going to have our Bible reading now. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. I hope you got a Bible on the way in. If not, please put up your hand. Someone will bring one over to you. 1 Corinthians 3, it's on page 1145 of the Church Bible. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you're of Christ, and Christ is of God. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray briefly. Keep your Bible open at 1 Corinthians 3. Father, in your tender mercy, speak to us from your words. Work in our hearts by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Grow up, you two. Grow up. It's a phrase I've heard a lot from my sister-in-law down the years, usually aimed towards me and my brother, mainly down really to our often childish behavior. When we get together, if you've got a brother or a sister, you know the kind of thing that goes on. Although I wasn't there at the time, I can imagine that thought in my head, in my sister-in-law's head, when my brother, during the pandemic, decided to jump off a trampoline into a paddling pool. He then slipped and broke his ankle. And I can imagine as my sister and their three sons sat outside A&E at the height of the pandemic, waiting for my brother to be plastered. I'm sure she sat outside the hospital that night thinking, grow up. The only thing that surprises me was that it happened to him and not me. Grow up. I think that's the message of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, considered himself to be something of a spiritual father to the people of the church in Corinth. It was through his preaching that I suspect many of the Christians in that local church had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as we want our children or grandchildren or nephews or whoever it is, just as we want them to grow up and mature and learn how to read and write and do their sums or ride their bike or whatever it is, just as we want them to grow up and mature, so Paul's great desire was for the Christians in that local church, spiritually, to grow up, to mature. Look at verse 3. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? As people in the church there, were falling out with each other, taking sides, as they were jealous and quarreling, Paul says, you're acting like babies. You're acting like babies. In fact, Paul says, you're not acting like Christians at all. You're behaving like the rest of our world does. You need to grow up. If you've been here with us over the past number of weeks now, about a month or so, you might be thinking, why is Paul still going on about that? I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. Why is he been going on about it for two chapters? Well, it's a big deal for this reason. When our first allegiance is to anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, we're actually acting like immature children. And it's really easy for a local church to fall apart when that's the case. Now, you might be tempted to think, I would never do that. I would never kind of get behind a kind of human leader. That's not a danger for me. Well, I wonder if you've ever thought this. That's not how we did it at our old church. I wonder if you've ever thought, the church down the road is bigger and more impressive. They must be doing something right, and we must be doing something wrong. And I wonder if you've ever thought, if only Pastor Bob were here, then he'd be able to sort it out. Or maybe like the Corinthians, you've thought, you know, that message of the cross seems so weak and unimpressive. Can't we say something that'll look better or sound better to people to draw them here? Now, the truth is that there are lots of reasons this morning that spiritually speaking, we may need to hear the words, grow up. We've got to mature. Maybe we've got a quarrel with someone this morning. We need to grow up by going and sorting it out. And I don't mean sort it out. I mean go and speak to them. Go and say sorry. Maybe it's been ages since you've read your Bible. You know, we grow up by opening it up and saying, Lord, please speak to me. Maybe you feel like your faith has grown cold and tired. You know, we grow up by going back to the cross and seeing there that the Lord Jesus loves us. He's given himself for us. And that day by day, he wants to help us and walk with us and be with us. I hope you're getting the idea. Paul wants the Christians in that local church there to grow up. And my aim in the time that we've got this morning is that from these verses, I want to see how Paul tells them to grow up, because then we might grow up as well. Because if it was a problem for Christians in Corinth, in that local church, there's going to be a danger for us as well. Here are some of the ways Paul tells the Christians there to grow up. Number one, grow up by putting God in his right place. Verse 5. Well, in that little section from verses 5 to 10, Paul uses the picture of a local church as a field. He says, yep, the Christians who are in here, this is a field. And each one of the Christians in a local church is a plant. You get that? You get that image? That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Here's the field. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus this morning, you're one of the plants. The important thing to notice is whose field this is. It's God's field, we're told. What's more, look at the end of verse 6. Who makes the plants in the field grow? God does. Thank you. The end of verse 7. Who makes the plants in the field grow? God. Yeah. So we're all clear. This is God's field, this local church. Okay? We're each plants in God's field, but God makes the field grow. Now, how does God make it grow? And this is where the Corinthians were getting into trouble. God makes a local church grow by using his servants for certain tasks. Go back to verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Paul says, what do you need in a field if you want to make things grow? There's going to be a guy who comes and has to plant the seeds, or a woman who has to come and plant the seeds. Paul was like the first person who went to Corinth and told them about the Lord Jesus. He was the planter. When Paul left, this guy Apollos turned up. He was of great help to the local church. He's like the guy who waters the seeds, or maybe who weeds the field. But Paul says they're only servants of God. Their job wasn't to gather a little following for themselves. Their job was to point people to the Lord Jesus and keep on pointing people to the Lord Jesus, who's the Lord and Savior of the church. So Paul says in verse 7, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Was the growth down to Paul? Was the growth down to Apollos? Who was the growth down to? God. God. Now, let's make this about us, okay? And maybe even I'm speaking to myself here, if no one else. If anyone's come to faith in this local church over the past few years, if anyone's joined us, if anyone's grown in their faith, who's given that growth? God has. Not me. Not me. God. Not you. You may have been a planter or a waterer or the person who does the weeding or the many other tasks, but God has caused this local field to grow. But the Corinthians thought that the servants, Paul or Apollos, well, they were the guys to praise and worship. And Paul says, no. If anyone's to be praised and worshiped, it's God. We are just servants. Don't follow us. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Paul and Apollos were not in opposition. They had one purpose, to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ again and again. Their reward was not, hey, come and be in my gang. That wasn't the reward. Not at all. Their reward was still waiting for them in heaven. A little band of followers here on earth was rubbish in comparison to what awaited them in heaven. Can I tell you childish, worldly thinking that I think Paul speaks about? Our world says if someone is impressive, we should big them up. We should celebrate them. We should praise them and glorify them. In a local church, that is really, really dangerous. I know the few of us that are gathered here this morning might not look impressive, but often these things are relative. On Thursday, I had a visit from someone who's not been in this church for a number of years, probably before the pandemic. He came on Thursday when Tots was finishing. Now, he's involved in a local church plant in the church that he goes to. But Tots was really, really busy on Thursday morning. And as people streamed out of here, parents and grandparents and carers, he was like, we would love to have that many people come to our talks. And he looked around and he saw he hadn't been here since the new heating system had been put in. And he says, we'd love to have radiators like that. And he went through the back and had a look at the new toilet and thought, we'd love to have stuff like that. And I told him a little bit of the journey that we've been on and the people we've been speaking to about the Lord Jesus. And he's, do you know what he said? Doogie, you've done an amazing job. Do you know the problem with that? And it makes me think, do you know, well, God must be really happy that he's got Doogie on his side. What a load of guff. It took me just a little bit too long to say, John, I'm just a servant. And if there's been anything good that's happened in the life of this local church, it's because God has given the growth. We love to be proud. We love it when we get some glory and praise because we love to take God's place. We love to be number one. It's really dangerous. We grow up by putting God in his right place. Think of the servants for a moment. If you're a Christian, think of the servants, the people who were instrumental, if you like, in your growth, the people who planted the seed, if you like, told you about the Lord Jesus and watered that seed and tended it. It might have been a Sunday school teacher or a parent or a friend or a pastor, whoever it was. A mark that we are growing in our faith is not that we say, do you know, I wish that Thingy was still alive. Then I'd really grow in my faith. A mark that we're growing up and maturing is saying, I give thanks to God for Bob's role in my life. I give thanks to God. I praise him for the people that he's put in my life. As your pastor, who am I? I'm just a servant of Jesus. I'm just a guy that gets to plant a few seeds. If anyone gives the growth, it's God. At this point in the history of this local church, I've been given a job to do. Not so that people would say, Doogie's a great pastor, or I go to Doogie Affleck's church. Never say that. Never say that. Because if anyone experiences growth, comes to faith, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. We grow up by putting God in his right place. Then Paul tells them, grow up by building on the only foundation that matters. In verse 10, he kind of changes tack a little bit. He stops saying, talking about the church as a field. He then starts to compare it to a building. Okay, verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. So again, just as Paul had been the guy that planted the seed, if you think of the church as a building, the people in it as a building, Paul was like the guy who came along and started to dig the foundations and pour the concrete. Okay? He laid the foundation. He told them the message that Jesus died for their sins, rose again from the dead. I was here the day when they started digging out the foundations for the new toilet, okay? I was there. I watched them with a big digger. It looked amazing. I was there when they came and they poured the concrete in. But the people who did that were different from the guys who then came and laid the bricks. Okay, I'm showing you all my experience of the building trade there. I don't know if that happened next, but let's go with it, okay? The people who laid the foundations and then built the structure, those were different people. And Paul says, I laid the foundation. Apollos then came and laid the bricks. Quite often in a local church, that's how it works. People come and go. Sunday school teachers might come and go. Pastors, they might come and go. People move on. People we thought were crucial to gospel work. Well, sometimes they die, and we thought, well, what are we going to... I wonder if so often the gospel works like that so that God gets the credit, not human beings. Notice what Paul says at the end of verse 10. Each one of you, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for any local church and for anyone's faith in is the Lord Jesus himself. That's what Paul preached when he came to Corinth. That's the foundation. But something that struck me this week from verse 10 is that each of us are now part of the construction team for this local church. If you're a Christian, each one should build with care. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, spiritually speaking, if you're part of this local church, you've got a hard hat and a high-vis jacket on. You've got a role to play. And he says we should build with care. I wonder if you've ever thought of yourself in that way before. You're part of the building project. No matter what age you are, or no matter how skilled or unskilled you think you are, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, part of this local church, then part of your responsibility is to build in this local church by telling others about the Lord Jesus, by encouraging others to love the Lord Jesus. You've got a part to play ensuring others are growing up in their faith, in maturing. This is not just a command for keenies or for pastors. Look what he says. Each one should build with care. Then he goes on to say in verse 12 and 13, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Paul is saying that we can build a local church with all sorts of materials, good stuff and bad stuff. Paul says, make sure you're building consistently with the foundations, the right materials. If the foundation was the Lord Jesus Christ and his message of his death on the cross and his resurrection, build consistently with that. In Corinth, they were trying to build with the wisdom of the world. They thought that if things looked impressive, if they got some impressive leaders in, then that was the way to build it. But Paul's been saying, no. We build a local church the same way the foundation was laid, with the message of Jesus. Why is it important to build carefully? Because Paul says a day is coming when the quality of our work will be revealed. See where it says the day in verse 13 will bring it to light? That day is the day when the Lord Jesus returns. And the big question here is, will our part of the building work in this local church, will it show that we've been building with the good stuff or rubbish? Paul says if it shows that we've been building with rubbish, yeah, if we're Christians, we'll escape the flames, he says. We'll get to heaven, but just. So make sure you're building with the right materials. Grow up. The other reason we've got to be careful how we build, verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. We've got to build carefully because a local church is precious. It's full of stones, you and I, that are precious to God. And so we've got to be careful how we build and encourage each other to grow up into maturity. Let me ask you a serious question. Are you playing your part in building the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, are you playing your part? A foundation's been laid here, but in our generation, are we doing what we can? It's a big question. Paul wants us to grow up. If you're not yet a Christian, the first step is getting the right foundation in place. It's by believing that the Lord Jesus died for your sins, that you would be forgiven by God, that you would be welcomed into his family, that you would receive eternal life. And this morning, I want to say to you, you've got to get that foundation in place. Because on the day where our building work will be revealed, a Christian's building work, that'll be a day of terror for those who don't yet know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't have the right foundation in place. God will punish sinners with the eternal judgment of hell on that day when all is revealed. We've got to ask today for his mercy. We've got to grow up. We grow up by putting God in his right place, by building on the only foundation that matters. Here's the last one. Paul says, grow up by putting our heroes in the right place. That's what Paul goes on to say. Verse 18, don't deceive yourselves. Verse 21, so then, no more boasting about human leaders. Don't think growing up, maturing, is to have human heroes. Don't think it's to be an impressive-looking Christian. Being mature is to trust the Lord Jesus again and again, not the wisdom of our world. Why not? Verse 21, so then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you're of Christ, and Christ is of God. What's Paul saying? Think of Christmas, okay? When you get a Christmas present, when you get that chocolate orange from your loved one, do you say thank you to the chocolate orange, or do you say thank you to the person that gave it to you? You say thank you to the person that, of course you do. Wouldn't it be weird? Thank you, chocolate orange. That's mental. The Lord Jesus has given Christians all that they need to be part of this family. The Lord Jesus promises to give Christians all that they need for all that they face through every circumstances of life. And that might be really hard for some of us to hear this morning because we might be sick or lonely or heartbroken or in pain. But the Lord Jesus promises that he will help us by giving us what we need, the grace for every situation. And any gift the Lord Jesus gives us, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas or whatever it is not just for one wee group in the church, but for the benefit of us all. Let me put it into our terms this morning. Imagine Trisha, okay, we're grateful to God for Trisha's musical gifts, but imagine if she said, well, if you want to sing in church this morning, you've just got to be part of my wee group. It's not for anyone else, you've just got to be in my wee group. Or imagine if Titus, I'm thankful that he's got the ability to record our service for those who can't be here this morning or unwell, but imagine he said, if you want to hear the service again, you've got to be in my wee group. That's not what he does. Imagine the people serving tea and coffee after the service said, you're only going to get a cup of coffee if you're in my wee group. Everyone here has been given to this local church as a gift from the giver, the Lord Jesus, to help build up the church. And so we say thank you to the Lord Jesus for Trisha's musical gifts and Esther's as well, because they help us to praise God. We give thanks that Titus can record the sermon this morning so that those who can be here can listen again, and it will help them to praise God. We give thanks for those who will serve tea and coffee, serve us, and it helps us to in our time of fellowship together, and we praise God for them. You start to get the idea? What's a sign of maturity? We thank the giver, the Lord Jesus, who gives us all things. We've got to close. Those of us who are Christians, are we growing up this morning? Do we see those signs of maturity in our lives? Maybe we need to pray and ask for God's help to do that. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we want to be those who are maturing in our faith in the Lord Jesus, who are growing up. We don't want to be those who are staying as spiritual babies, but who are growing in their maturity by putting you first in our lives, by doing what you want us to do, that your opinion being the opinion that really matters to us. Father, help us to keep building on the only foundation that matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us when we don't do that. Forgive us when we think that maybe spiritual heroes are the ones who we should praise and glorify. We so long for this local church to grow. Help us to keep believing that it's as we preach the Lord Jesus and Him crucified that we do that. And we pray these things in His glorious name. Amen.